From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. The Atlanta Symphony Orchestra unveils the lineup for its new season today. Sarah Zaslaw hosts the ASO broadcast, which air on most GPB stations, and she sat down with Symphony Music Director Robert Spano and got this preview of what's coming up.
It's always exciting for us when the puzzle pieces get put together and we actually know what we're doing the next season. It's always a kind of a great moment because it takes a long time, a lot of planning. There's so many moving parts. And when it's finally done, it's an aha or a eureka or wow. But for me, I have to admit there are a couple things that we're doing next season that are especially meaningful to me. One is we're exploring Wagner's Tristan and Isolde. Not doing the entire opera in one evening.
How long is the entire opera?
Oh, 5-6 hours. So we're doing one act a night. The first night we have Bach and then act one. The second act we pair with Schoenberg, and the third act is paired with Purcell's Dido and Aeneas. But the interesting thing about Wagner, I think, is that we tend to think of him as a trailblazer and a prophet, and he influenced all the music that came after him. But he was equally an encyclopedist of everything that came before him. And so there's this fascination with what a pivot he is in the history of music. And Tristan is certainly one of those works that kind of changed the world. We'll have panels and talks and chamber music and surrounding activity. So it's kind of a festival attitude around this exploration of Tristan and Isolde. So that's thrilling to me.
Some serious Wagner attention coming up next season. It's also an anniversary for the Atlanta Symphony, isn't it?
This is our 75th anniversary season, and we wanted to celebrate who we are, in a sense, who we've been and who we want to be. We celebrated Shaw's 100th birthday a couple of years ago.
Choral director Robert Shaw.
Whose shadow still looms large at the Woodruff Arts Center and in Atlanta. He was a giant. And we want to honor his legacy again in this 75th anniversary season. And that means featuring the chorus, which is the living legacy that he left us. We'll be doing Mahler's 8th Symphony. And we'll be doing the Beethoven Missa Solemnis, which we'll also take to Carnegie Hall. My predecessor, Yoel Levy, will be returning to conduct a program that I believe is very close to one he conducted early in his tenure here, and Itzhak Perlman is the soloist.
Any new or recent music in the plans for next season too?
Well, given that it's our 75th anniversary, we're also paying quite a bit of attention to what we've been calling the Atlanta School. And certainly one of the most exhilarating things in my time here has been watching this beautiful culture around living American composers grow and thrive. So we kick off the season with Jennifer Higdon's Concerto for Orchestra. We also have in the season a new symphony from Richard Pryor, who's Atlanta native now. And there are other nods to the Atlanta School because that's such a rich part of our couple decades of history now.
As you approach the end of your tenure as music director, are there certain boxes that you want to check off, or have you been thinking legacy?
I actually know my programs for my last season too, which we're not announcing yet. In a way, you could say, oh, I have to do this, or I have to do that, or we never did that, and I always wanted to do that, or we have to come back to that thing that we loved. The Tristan is certainly something I had wanted to do here for a long time, and now that's coming to fruition. But there's other things that are a glance back, like doing the Higdon Concerto for Orchestra.
That's one of the first pieces you recorded with the Atlanta Symphony, right?
Yes. So there's a bit of both, looking back, looking forward.
Any other highlights from next season that we didn't touch on yet?
Well, I'm really happy to bring to Atlanta a young Malaysian pianist that I met thanks to the Aspen Music Festival, who's just unbelievably impressive. Every once in a while, you run across a talent that just is so immense that it's so exciting to witness it, to hear him play. He's also a composer, but he's coming to play Bartok's Second Piano Concerto with us, and I'm thrilled to introduce him to Atlanta.
What is this Malaysian pianist's name?
Tengku Irfan.
I'll be looking for that.
He's phenomenal.
As you mentioned, so many considerations go into planning a full season of the Atlanta Symphony with all its series. It's not just the classical series that you lead, but there are educational concerts and there are sort of more pops-type things with movies or for holidays. You're balancing all sorts of artistic and extra-artistic factors in making these plans. Your fellow institutions at the Woodruff Arts Center, the High Museum of Art and the Alliance Theater, have been working very creatively to connect with new audiences. And I'm curious what form that effort takes with the Atlanta Symphony. How do you approach that mission to expand the classical base and serve all of our city's diverse communities? How does that play out in programming decisions?
Programmatically, we seek to do great music. And I think that that has value and appeal across demographics. And I think that's one of the great things about what we do. Because you can say that, well, you know, Western classical music is dead white European males, so why would anyone care? But I just don't find that to be true because people still care about Beethoven. And they're not necessarily European white males who do. So I think one of the great things about doing what we do is that it really is for everyone. And I think the most important thing we can do is to make sure everyone feels welcome and to get the message out. Because so often I run into people who are aware that there is an Atlanta Symphony Orchestra and that I'm the music director. They recognize me. And I ask, have you come to a concert? And if people say no, I always try and make sure they get a ticket from me. So we really need to make sure that we stop them from not coming. And I think that's about invitation and knowing that we don't have an audience. We have many audiences. And just as you were pointing out with our programmatic diversity with movies and pops concerts and classical series and youth concerts and so on, different things in that menu might appeal to different people. But even within any of those programmatic pigeonholes, all kinds of different people are making up our audience. And I tend to think of our audience in the plural. It's audiences.
One goal that symphonies are dealing with is how to make the orchestra look more like the community. This is the 25th anniversary season of the ASO's Talent Development Program. The idea is to support young Black and Latino musicians from the Metro Atlanta area with music lessons and instruments and guidance, with the ultimate goal of launching professional careers and diversifying the faces on orchestra stages across our country.
The Talent Development Program has been a very successful venture for us in that our alums do so well, initially in going on to major conservatories in the country, but then also getting important jobs and having important careers. And it's a program that I think we can justifiably be very proud of the people who've come through it and come out of it and what they're doing in the world. It's a program that I think is one of the best ways to address some of those concerns that we have.
So with all this activity and energy, do you feel like the state of classical music is pretty healthy in Atlanta?
Oh, incredibly. And in the country. And I often hear, and in the world for that matter, I often hear people fret or wring their hands. And often the kinds of financial challenges the ASO has faced have been life-threatening for us. Or what is the future of the American orchestra? And there can be a lot of gloom and doom around the subject. But in fact, I have tremendous confidence that this art will find its way in our world because there's never been a situation where great music wasn't happening. And there are more people interested in classical music right now than ever. We witness that with online behavior. Who's taking lessons? Who's accessing music? Who's listening to music? Who's writing about music? The whole issue about people going to concerts is not happening in a vacuum. In fact, if you compare the attrition in people going to theater, dance, movies, classical music has suffered less attrition than a lot of those other events. We're in the middle of a big social change about how we use our free time, what we do, how we entertain ourselves. It's all going to work out.
I saw recently in an interview from Arts ATL that the Woodruff Arts Center's CEO, Doug Shipman, is kind of bullish on the prospect of maybe getting a new symphony hall for the orchestra sometime soon.
Where we are is in exploring what's most viable and effective and exciting, a renovation of our existing hall or a new hall. I'm very hopeful that before I leave, we will have an actionable plan. And that would just be tremendous. Even though I'll be exiting, I still am thrilled with the thought that we will find the best solution for the way forward. It's time, and it'll be so exciting and so great for the orchestra, for the city. It'll be a fantastic step into the future.
Robert Spano, thank you very much.
It's a great pleasure.
Robert Spano is music director of the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra. He spoke there with GPB's Sarah Zasla, who hosts our symphony broadcasts and Nightcap. Those shows air on most GPB stations. And we'll leave you with another piece that the symphony is doing next season, Carl Orff's Carmina Burana.